Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Let me welcome you to 100 degree weather in the Mesa City Council chambers. We have seven items on our study session, and then we do have a regular council meeting beginning at 5:45. So if you'll take a council members, if you'll grab your packet, we'll go through the items for tonight's regular council meeting. Let's hit them a page at a time like we normally do. Anything on page two? Okay, three, we get in resolutions. Vice Mayor.
Mayor, who has the conflicts on A and B? You and anybody else? I'm not sure. 4A and 4B?
I think Mike and I are.
Do you have a conflict on those?
Yeah.
Okay, just want to make sure. Thank you.
Right. We don't on seven, but we do on 4A and B. All right, so we'll declare those upstairs. Page three, we have Falcon Field resolution ordinance. Page four, same thing, we have a resolution and an ordinance being introduced. For a minor general plan, that continues to page five. 7A and 7B, we've been informed we can put those back on, the conflicts that we have in the town center area with what they're doing. This is a language correction primarily. Deb?
That's correct, Mayor. What I've been told is this will not in any way impact any of the land uses with additional restrictions or less restrictions. It's simply house cleaning. So it will not require a conflict by either you or Councilmember Whalen. It still cannot go on consent, though, because we're having a public hearing.
Oh, true. That is absolutely true. Glad you noticed that. I'd be a little disappointed to have the public hearing on consent, I'm sure. Let's see. It puts us down on item number eight. We get into liquor license applications. That's continued on page six.
No change on HD.
8D is still off consent.
There's a petition. It's a citizen petition.
So we can either, make note of that and vote accordingly. Contracts then begin on 9. That's continued over on page 7. We got that question answered. All right. Page 8, contracts. Continued on page 9. And additional contracts on page 10. And I have a conflict of interest on 9S and 9T. So I'll declare those upstairs. Then contracts continue on page 12 for us. And 13, we get introductions of ordinances and setting June 2nd. And then we have resolutions, continued on page 14, additional resolutions. Over to 15. And I have
7H is mine.
All right, okay. Yeah, I pulled 11H just to vote against it. I don't have a conflict on it, all right. Let's see, we have the rest of them are put on consent on that page. That's 15, page 16 then. Tom.
I have a question on 12B. I'm just curious why this tax increase didn't go through the Audit and Finance Committee.
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, I think we were asked to look into this after the last Audit and Finance Committee agenda was put together. We were not asked to bring this to the committee.
I find that somewhat troubling.
Vice Mayor?
Actually, I went to the mayor and asked him to put it on the agenda. It was not trying to avoid the Audit and Finance Committee meeting. We're all going to have a chance to vote on it one way or the other, but I did go and ask the mayor to put it on the agenda.
I just thought that even things that were would come through three people requesting it or the mayor putting it on. If it was something that fell into the jurisdiction of one of the committees, it should go to the committee, but it's too late to do anything about it now.
Yeah, it's there were several items that individual committee members or council members came up with towards the end of the terms, and this was, I think, because of timing, we couldn't get it through that committee, Tom. All right, that's page 16. Page 17. And 12G has been pulled. Page 18, get into zoning cases. Have conflict on one?
Okay, yeah, I'll declare conflict on 12I upstairs.
12I, all right, let's remove 12I. All right, it's page 18, page 19. And I have a conflict on 12K on page 19.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Yeah, that's the one north of University. Did we change that? We did. South of Brown Road and the west side of Alma School. Okay. All right, that's page 19, page 20. Have an appeal of a Planning and Zoning Board case at 307 South Hawes Road. It was a 4-3 vote. It's on page 20, page 21. Vice Mayor.
Just a comment on that wording on page 19. At that point, Brown Road doesn't exactly exist.
Well, it would go through if it did, actually.
So why don't we say located north of 8th Street? Because that actually exists.
Mayor, Vice Mayor Walters, we've typically used the arterial streets, and that's why the earlier reference had been to University, because it is the closest one that actually goes through, but that caused some concern, so it got switched to Brown.
Which doesn't exist.
The map that goes with it clearly shows where it's at.
So if Brown went through, this would be south of
right,
Brown?
Just south of Brown. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Okay.
Sorry, Mayor, I would use the word then Brown Road alignment, because that's what you're really talking about.
Can we say that, even though Councilmember Rawls isn't actually even allowed to speak on this?
Well, Carnett, okay. Put your hat on.
Would you disqualify
I would
me?
Love to,
Debbie, can you
I would love to have.
It's going to be a long meeting, and if I left now, I'd have a much more pleasant evening. Can I be removed?
I would actually very much like to like to say the Brown Road alignment. Would that be okay? Is there a problem with that? Okay.
Just reduction.
It's a little late. Reintroduce. Okay.
All right. Well, since I'm going to read it in, I'm just going to write Brown Road alignment.
All right. That would take us to, let's see, page 21, 22. All right, and that's the agenda for tonight. Okay, let's go back to item number two, which is to discuss and take action on fiscal year 08-09 annual audit plan as recommended by the Audit and Finance Committee.
Still working on it. Mayor, let me just comment on the audit plan. This is a recommended audit plan, but obviously when the new council comes in, they can make changes to it if they would like. It's going to be their audit plan, but we didn't want to just leave it hanging out there and say, well, now in your first 2 weeks, you have to figure out an audit plan. Otherwise, people are just going to be sitting around doing nothing, which, of course, they wouldn't be. They're very hardworking staff. But this is a proposed audit plan. When the newly constituted Audit and Finance Committee meets, then they can look at this and see if there are any modifications that they want to make to it. It is not written in concrete and can never be changed again. We want to make sure that that's very clear to everyone. These are recommendations from this council to the next council, but they need not be followed.
Okay. Gary, is that the information that was conveyed to you as the auditor?
Mayor, council members, that's correct.
All right, Tom?
Yeah, what I would do then is I would make a motion that we adopt this as the tentative annual audit plan, so that it's clear to the next council that they have the right to modify it if necessary.
Okay. This is for discussion and take action. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and second. Further discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, passes. Item number three is here a presentation to discuss and provide direction on fee modifications for liquor licenses as recommended by the Audit and Finance Committee. This is a 2-to-1 vote from Audit and Finance. Vice Mayor.
Mayor, this, my understanding, I just want to clarify this. This will then be forwarded as a recommendation with all of the fees to be adopted by the incoming council.
Right, on right? June 2nd.
On June 2nd. So what we're doing is we're giving them a lot of stuff to do on June 2nd that's related to the budget. This ended up being a philosophical conversation. Council Member Rawls felt strongly, and if I'm misstating your position, please feel free to jump in, felt strongly that the fees that we charge for these licenses should reflect the actual cost of the license. Otherwise, the fee should not be included. And so there was an analysis that was done. But for me, and I stated the position that there are fees, and when I say fees, I'm sorry, there are costs that result to the city as a result of liquor sales occurring in the city. And that those costs are in the police department, in the fire department, and other departments of the city. Can we quantify those? No, we can't. I feel certain that the amount that we're recovering does not cover all of the costs. Can I prove that? No, I can't. When the city budget was put together, they anticipated a certain amount of revenues. And so the discussion that we had at the Audit and Finance Committee was whether or not the way the fees are structured currently reflects the way we would want to do business. It clearly does not reflect the way Councilmember Rawls wants to do business, but it also probably didn't reflect the way I wanted to do business, because when I looked at it, I thought the initial fees were pretty high and the ongoing fees were probably not high enough. Staff was concerned about making sure that we didn't upset the entire budget by getting numbers that were out of whack, and so what we did was we sent it back to them with some guiding principles, and that was on a 2-to-1 vote. And so then the numbers that came back that I just got to look at, I've been out of town and I just got to look at this morning, I think reflect that general sense of we're trying to move to a place where the initial fees are a little bit lower, the ongoing fees are a little bit higher, and we don't upset the revenue projections that we had in the budget. Does that fairly capture everything, Jenny?
Pretty much.
Tom?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Tom?
Everything that you said was absolutely true, but it didn't go back far enough, which was when I noticed for the first time when I was having breakfast or lunch at Mimi's counter that they had a liquor license renewal, an annual license, and I asked staff why, and the answer was probably as good as they could provide at the time without having thought about it for 20 years. And so it became clear to me that with a state liquor license already in place, that the city of Mesa doesn't provide any service at all with a renewal license. It just is a tax. It's an opportunity to take money from business in order to allow them to do business. At one of the Audit and Finance Committee meetings, I asked the city attorney who was representing the city attorney's office at that time, I said, if somebody, do we have the right to withdraw their liquor license? And the answer was no. So it's simply a revenue mechanism. It's simply a tax. It doesn't, the city does nothing in exchange for this, whether it's $500, $550, $600, $700, or $800. So my initial position was that there shouldn't be a renewal license at all. We do have to participate in the initial application because the state liquor laws require us to do certain things and to make a recommendation one way or the other. I thought that application process, we ought to obtain full cost recovery. I was opposed to the renewal fee at any level, at any cost. When I failed to obtain any consensus for that position, I thought we should do no more than recover our cost of the renewal process. And the numbers went through stages of refinement until we were down to, I think, $48 for this one is what we ended up with. Right. And then, Claudia, that's when we got engaged in the philosophical discussion as to whether or not we should recapture more than the issuance. Since the issuance doesn't accomplish anything for either the license holder or the community, it's clear to me that this is nothing but a tax. So the way it's now structured, existing businesses, with what this does, if it's approved for existing businesses, there is a substantial increase in their renewal fees from $550 to $800, $550 to $800, $0 to $600, $550 to $700, $550 to $700. You can read it on page 2 of the council report. But those renewals for existing businesses, this reflects a nothing but a tax increase, because that's what we've now admitted that it is. It's Scottsdale at least has the, I think we were told at the Audit and Finance Committee, Scottsdale has the, at least the willingness to say this is a tax on liquor. We call it a license renewal fee. So I can't support a tax increase, particularly at a time when we're in a recession, and every politician since John Kennedy at least has recognized that tax increases are the opposite of what you should do during a recession. So that's my basic premise. But there's also, I want to just point out that there are $800 fee increases for license series number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, and 13 that the Audit and Finance Committee never discussed. There was not a breath of discussion about any one of those. We focused on 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, and 14. I'm not even sure we talked about 14, but we may have. I can't remember. But there's a bunch in here that we did not talk about at all at the Audit and Finance Committee, so they don't carry a recommendation from the Audit and Finance Committee for approval. They were just, I know why, it's not a, okay. It's not a slam, but they got slipped in here without any kind of discussion by the Audit and Finance Committee. So I'm disturbed about that. So I mean, that's my basic position on this. We shouldn't have renewal licenses because we're not offering anything and we don't have any regulatory authority. It is simply a money grab by government. Secondly, if we do want to have renewal fees, it ought to just be the actual cost. And third, we shouldn't clearly be talking about increases that have never gone to the Audit and Finance Committee. So those are my three positions, and I just again, not, this is not the time for tax increases, and we're hitting some existing businesses in Mesa pretty hard with their renewal fees here, 50 to 75% in some cases.
Vice Mayor.
Mayor, I actually agree with a portion of what Councilmember Rawls said, which is why I came tonight prepared to make a different recommendation, and that is that we recommend that we keep all of the existing fees, and that we convey the notes of the previous Audit and Finance Committee to the new Audit and Finance Committee, let them have a more detailed discussion of the impact of all these things, because I think that there's so much impact in here, as I went through and looked at the fees, that it just didn't make sense to me for us to be making that change right now. I do not agree with Councilmember Rawls' position about, you know, taking it to nothing, eliminating the renewal, all of those things. But rather than mess around with the numbers on the fly, I was going to make the motion, and I will make it as a motion, that we keep the existing fees and renewal. That was what the budget was predicated on when the budget was designed. Chris, if I'm misstating that, please tell me. Then, and so that's the motion that I'm going to make tonight, along with forwarding the conversation, the dialogue, to the next Audit and Finance Committee.
Do you have a second?
I don't know.
All right, Tom?
Actually, Mayor, because I'm actually kind of relieved to second this, because I was the one who brought it forward to try to accomplish one thing, and it was going to get turned into a tax increase, which really was not my purpose or agenda at all. So the fact that we're going to leave it alone to allow the next council to weigh on these issues, I'd still like to not have the renewal, but in light of where we are today and what's happened, I will second that motion and appreciate the we've actually had some entertaining discussions about this over the last 2-3 months, so I'm happy to second that motion.
Okay. Motion and second. Discussion, Mike?
Just a question. Jenny, on page 2 of the council report, the other cities that are listed, are those the initial or are those the renewal fees?
Mayor, Councilmember Whalen, the top table is just Mesa's fees.
The bottom table.
The bottom table is just the most used licenses, and it's.
But it's the annual renewal fee. Then.
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion on the motion? All right. Have a motion and second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Passes unanimously. All right. Okay, hopefully we have some of the newly elected and the mayor candidates so they know what they have to go through here. Next. Item number four is discuss and provide direction on the Recycle for Reading campaign as recommended by the Audit and Finance Committee. This was a 3-0. All right. This is a...
I'll second the motion.
I looked at the staff report, and they were talking about an additional pound. How much money does that generate if that was actually successful citywide? Was that in the report, and I missed it?
Yes, it is. It's on the towards the last part of the report. It's just over $25,000 if we use the average of $33 a ton.
And what does it cost you to put on the campaign to get the message out to get $25,000?
About $12,000, but there's landfill diversion savings of about $17,000.
Okay. I was going to ask how many pounds of paper do you have to distribute, but I won't. Vice Mayor.
This program is designed to educate people, but additionally to provide an incentive for them to switch over to doing more recycling. But the other part of it that made it good, because this is something that, you all know I feel pretty passionately about, but the other part that made it good is they aren't saying, well, we think we can do this, and therefore we're going to allocate the money to it. They have to show that it's actually occurred. And it already takes into account the fact that you anticipated an increase in recycling as the community grows. So that's
correct.
Built in, too. So you don't get to have the advantage of, oh, well, we got increased when you were already thinking it was going to happen. So they've looked at all of those aspects of things. It's a pilot program. It's 1 year, and it'll come back for discussion.
And I think I read there were 280,000 or something library cards out.
290,000 library card holders.
Are you going to approach them in some type of mailer so you can clean up your database at the same time, or is that not part of this program?
That's something we'll be working with the library on. And keep in mind that one cardholder, or you could have five cardholders in one house. So we just send one mailing to one house.
All right. Any questions? Motion on this one?
You have a motion and a second already.
Motion and second have been made. Discussion? Okay. Let's call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Same sign. All right. Passes. Item number five, hear reports on meetings and or conferences attended. Any updates today? Vice Mayor?
Mayor, I attended my last Community and Economic Development Steering Committee for the National League of Cities. As you can imagine, there's been a lot of discussion revolving around issues with mortgage foreclosures, the price of gasoline, how that's impacting economic development. But I think probably the most interesting conversations, from my perspective, had to do with education and remaining globally competitive. We had one speaker who has really worked to get rid of the barriers. We have a lot of barriers in our education system. I don't know if people even understand exist, and they vary from state to state. But things like if you are a community college in one county that you can, at least this is true in Ohio, you can't deliver educational information to somebody in the neighboring county because that's not your jurisdiction. And people write new curriculum when somebody else already has curriculum. And so they have come up with this global network of people who are all working together, community colleges, universities, all working together. Best practices, you have the curriculum within 24 hours, you take the education into the workplace, so you upgrade your workforce. One of the things that they said they had discovered was that in those call center jobs that we can all imagine are pretty awful, why India is able to keep so many people on the job is because at the end of of 3 years of working in one of those call centers, they can have an MBA that was paid for. And so they stay on the job to finish their education. So they're looking at some of those things to help us, tool up our workforce, because our real only possibility for remaining globally competitive is that we have to have a better educated workforce, and we have to continue to re-educate people who are in the workforce. So a lot of emphasis on that. Thank you.
Councilmember Summers.
Mayor, I went to a few meetings, but
in order to save my voice for tomorrow and to just get us upstairs, I had the opportunity to do my decision theater today, so I pass along how you get there for the rest of you. Phenomenal job by Decision Theater and ASU. Appreciate the work that they've done. Decision Theater is a component of our planning process for the Gateway area. And I think you'll find tomorrow the both the height demonstrations of buildings as well as the noise contour demonstrations very useful in our decision coming up very shortly.
Good. Councilmember Jones.
Saturday, I went to a dedication of a home, Habitat for Humanity, for the Ahmed family, and it was a piece of property that we had as a city that was south of Broadway, Alfama School, that was too small when we widened the property, and it wasn't of reasonable size for a normal lot, so Habitat took it over, and they built a two-story home there, and it's completed, and turned out very well for that family, and a great program for them.
Okay. The MAG Executive Committee met today, and the Building Lease Working Group on the building. They have scoured the metropolitan area for 150,000, 175,000 square foot building, 300 to 500 parking stalls, and have come up with two for sale and the new building. They've also done a 15-year analysis on what it would cost to lease someplace else. And so there's some possibilities of still getting the different agencies, rail, RPTA, and NAG in one building. So that will be progressing forward. So good luck, and we'll see where that finally ends up. Anybody else? Let's see. Scheduling and meetings and general information. Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder to the council that next Thursday, May 22nd, we will meet at the ASU Decision Theater. Councilman Summers has passed out the map. That will begin at 8 a.m. There is seating for 25 in the actual theater, but there is ample seating outside of the theater in an adjacent or near, it's in the same building, a conference room, which will be able to see the same slides that the council will be seeing. We are posting this as a joint meeting of the City Council and the Planning and Zoning Commission if they wish to come and be able to see the same presentation that you'll be seeing. We also inviting both the council and the council-elect to be there at the same time. So that, again, 8 a.m. At the ASU Decision Theater will be our work session for Thursday. And then we have Thursday, May 29th, we have another study session at 7:30. And we'll have, a reminder, that evening or that afternoon from 4 to 6:30 in the Palo Verde Room will be the Mayor and Council farewell. That's all I have, Mayor.
Okay. For scheduling the meetings, the May 29th study session, one of the goals of this council was to look at the master plan for the Gateway area before it we were out of office. After we do the Decision Theater, is that planned to be on the agenda for that day?
Correct, Mayor. We will. That'll be an item on the study session for council direction decision on that strategic plan. Right now, they'll be presented to you two plans, to the consultant's review and an alternative plan. And we'll talk a little bit about more of that on the 22nd, but the anticipation is that the council will take action on that on May 29th, as we've stated.
The other item that is still hanging out there is getting a response back on the 287G program that we wanted to do in the jails. Is it possible to get an update or get
Yes, Mayor, we can certainly get an update. It's Scott, because I
schedule a meeting with whoever is supposed to be giving us authority.
We could schedule that for the 29th. Is that what you'd like us to do?
Yeah, that would, because of the time now, maybe that would be good to figure out what's happening there. You know.
And Mayor and Council, just to update everyone.
Mayor, I think we might have spoken about this last week.
Right.
The latest information out of Washington is that the Department of Homeland Security did, of course, receive our application per the council direction. They will be making a decision for this quarterly round of 287G grant funding
any day now. We're expecting it sometime in the latter part of May is the closest window that they could tell us out of Homeland Security Office. And so as soon as we get an update, we'll certainly be glad to share that with council.
Okay. Our state legislature and what cities and federal still aren't on the same page, because there was a bill that went through the legislature, the House and Senate, and the governor vetoed it because she said you could go ahead if you wanted to and apply as a city to 287G. Well, we did, and we're getting no response back. Yep. So,
Mayor, can we put this on the agenda for the 29th?
That's the reasons I want it on the agenda for the 29th. Let's do it and get into the full discussion about what other actions we have. All right, Tom.
Just as an advisement, when we first canceled the study session for the 22nd, I had a business meeting scheduled for that, because I didn't realize it was going to be the full-blown decision theater on that time, so I will not be able to attend on the 22nd, because I have a meeting with too many moving parts that I can't postpone.
Okay. Do we have one pre-scheduled? All right. It's Gilbert Rodriguez.
Yes.
Sir, you have 3 minutes to address the council.
Greetings, City Council members. My name is Gilbert Rodriguez, and I'm a property owner in the city of Mesa. I'm a concerned citizen and a patriot. This time, there is a lot of news coming out of the media informing the public that there is a property tax hike being packaged and submitted for the voters' approval this November. The total amount of the loan is approximately $400 million, which will become a new lien added to property tax bills in Mesa. It is the intention of the City Council that this new money be put to use for capital improvements on certain government buildings, to refurbish government property or to replace existing structures. Again, the money is to be used to improve the working environment of the city employees, like fire, police, buildings, the police training academy, the police aviation and criminal processing center. This is what the money would be used for. I personally don't think that this is a good time for additional city spending. And that means newly proposed bond, the loan, that the taxpayers would have the continuous liability to pay back with interest for the next 25 years. As we all know, the economy is declining, and so is real estate, while gas, food, and health care are increasing. I suggest that the city of Mesa reach out to other nearby cities like Chandler, Tempe, Gilbert, Maricopa County, to see if they would be willing to lend any available surplus office space, communication systems, equipment, and other training academies as an alternate to the newly proposed bonds. Perhaps the city of Mesa can advance by knowing other communities better, by finding new effectiveness in process, public safety that would benefit the others that would benefit the citizens of Mesa and surrounding communities.
Hey, Mr. Rodriguez, you need to wrap it up. Could we get a copy of that and just distribute it so we could read it?
I didn't understand you, sir.
Your time is up. The 3 minutes is up, but I would like to get a copy so we could read your entire statement.
Oh, just getting to the good part.
All right.
I'm sorry I took so long.
That's okay. Thank you very much for addressing the council.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and adjourn the study session then, and we'll reconvene upstairs for the regular council meeting.